Let's go.
We're continuing our series on the kingdom of God. And again, I didn't put it on the slide in Acts chapter 1. It says Jesus spent 40 days between his resurrection and the ascension with the disciples and many times. And it says he talked to them and taught them about the kingdom of God. I really believe the more I look into these parables for this short little series on the kingdom of God, the more I'm beginning to understand that we as 21st century Americans need to ask the Holy Spirit to put it into our minds what it means to talk about a kingdom. We don't really have a clue. We kind of take pride in the fact that over 200 years ago, our American forefathers stood up against the kingdom and defeated them and got us out of that kind of thing. And I understand from a human standpoint, we think that's really good. But do you understand that everything that God does is not based on a democratic republic? It is based on a monarchy. Amen. It's based on a kingdom, and he's the king. Uh-huh. And we need to keep that in mind. And I'm going to repeat this over and over through this series. You have a throne room in your heart and in your life, and there is a throne in it, and it was not carved to fit your backside. That's why when you start trying to do it your way, life gets so uncomfortable because you're trying to fill a seat that was not meant for you. Amen? And when and here's the other problem. Here's what some of us get good at. I'm going to let Jesus sit on the throne, but we want him to scoot over so we can kind of squeeze in there with him. It's not made for two people. It's made for one. And I love this in these three chapters that we've been looking through in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus tells these various stories about what the kingdom of God is like. And this one today is entitled Wheat and Tares. And go to Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 24. Now, I want to say this right up front. Most of you are aware, probably if you pay attention, that I normally preach out of the NIV, the New International Version. Today, I'm going to use the New American Standard, and I'll tell you why. A lot of the newer versions have changed one word in the story, and while technically they are correct, by making the change from something specific to something general, they actually have weakened the impact of the story. If you have one of the newer versions and it says weeds, W-E-E-D-S, and no, I'm not talking about what that place down the street's going to be selling. Not that kind of weeds. If it says weeds, if you don't mind writing in your Bible somewhere off to the side, write the word tares. And I'm going to tell you, explain to you why in this sermon this morning, okay? Okay, go play and go sit down until Pastor gets done, okay? Thank you, sweetheart. I'll explain to you in a minute why it is important for you to have the word tares there. Let's read this one. And again, Jesus is telling these parables. Jesus was the greatest storyteller, I think, that ever lived. Verse 24 says, "And Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field.'" Do you realize and have you noticed how many times in these parables of the kingdom, he always goes back to this agricultural theme of sowing good seed. Again, what is the good seed? It's the word of God. It's the gospel. How do we sow it? Sharing it. And here's the thing, we've got to be like the farmers that were listening to him. Don't only share it too selectively with only a few individuals. Be willing to share the gospel and the love of Christ everywhere you go. We talked about this last week. Your job is to sow the seed. Your job may be to water the seed. Your job may be to provide the fertilizer, but who causes the growth? God causes the growth. Not one person who's ever planted a seed ever made that seed grow. All that we can do is plant the seed, make the environment as conducive to growth as possible, but the actual act of growing the plant is in God's hands. So the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." And the slaves said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you're gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now, let me explain to you why it is important that we refer to these as tares and not just a general weed. Go to the next slide. Can you tell the difference in these two pictures? Can you tell me what is what there? No, you got it backwards. The one on the left is wheat. The one on the right is tares. The reason why I said it's important you understand that this is about wheat and tares is because tares is a plant that grows over there, and it looks exactly like wheat until just before the harvest time. Now, see, if it's just any weed, you know, if I plant wheat and dandelions pop up, it's pretty easy to tell. If I plant wheat and thorn bushes that create tumbleweeds pop up, that's pretty easy to tell. You see why, for this story, you need to know exactly what the other plant is, what the wheat is. It's tares. That's actually wheat on the left, tares on the right. Can you tell the difference? Everything I read said that it takes a very skillfully trained eye to know the difference. So what is Jesus really talking about in this parable? Go to the next slide. Why does it matter to us to be able to tell the difference between wheat and tares? Is Jesus really giving a lesson in agriculture? No, he's not. He's talking about his kingdom. And what is it that grows in his kingdom? People. People. One of the first things that we find in this story is that good seed is going to result in good people. In this story, referred to as wheat. But who's the enemy that comes along? Satan comes along, and guess what he does? Everywhere that we help Christ by spreading the good seed, Satan's going to spread his seed. Now, here's the thing. We'd like to think that any seed the devil plants and sows is going to grow up into something that is obviously wicked and evil and hideous. But that's not the case. Number one, we need to understand that as long as the kingdom of God is growing here on earth, Satan is going to be sowing his seed amongst us. Okay? But we also need to understand what our response to that is. We need to recognize wheat from the tares, but I want you to notice. The servants come to the man in the story, and they said, go to the next slide. They said, "Who did this?" And the man says, "Well, an enemy has sneaked in during the night, and he's planted bad seed." Why would you do that to anybody? Let's talk about the wheat and tares. Let's talk about it agriculturally. Why would you do that? How many of you know that not everybody out there is going to love you just because you're a follower of Christ? They want you to fail. I'll tell you what is most disturbing. You know, if I run into somebody that's just an acquaintance and they want to be antagonistic towards me because I follow Christ, that's one thing. What's really bad and difficult is when it's someone in your own family. But we need to understand, Satan will use anyone he can to try to make you fail. Am I right? Yeah. He'll use anybody he can. The devil will always sow tares and among the wheat. Listen to me very carefully. This is where this message has to be a fine balance. There is not one church body in the world that Satan is not trying to sow tares into. But here's the problem. oftentimes the tares look so much like the wheat, we really can't always tell the difference. So the servants come to the owner who sowed this good seed, and they said, do you want us to go out and start tearing up the tares? We need to understand, it's not our place to remove the tares. I want that to soak in a minute. See, I made the statement, no church body exists in the world that Satan is not trying to sow tares into. And right away, there were probably at least two or three in this gathering right here whose minds, for at least a moment, jumped to the thought of, well, we need to find out who they are and get them out of here. No, that's not our job. Let the tares, the owner says, let the tares grow up with the wheat. Here's why he didn't want them to go try to take the tares out, because the truth is the tares become entwined and intermingled so with the wheat that if you're not careful, you try to rip out the tares, you might also pull up the wheat. Can I tell you, in the church, it is not our job to go around and start trying to shove people out that we think might be tares, because invariably if we do, we might cause some of the wheat to leave with them. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have church discipline in place and all that stuff. But let's just say, and I'm going to pick on him since he's going to be filling in for me this week. Let's just say all of a sudden I decided as the pastor that Charlie was a tare and not wheat. And I decided, well, that's it. I'm going to force him out of here. I'm going to do everything I can to just nudge him out of this church so he won't be a bad influence. But the problem is, he gives a ride every Sunday to Eloy, who's wheat. Well, if I suddenly shove Charlie out as the tare, Eloy might follow him. And suddenly now I've not only uprooted the tare, I've uprooted some wheat. It's not our place. And you'll find out before we get to the end of this message in a moment why it's important that we let them stay together. We need to realize that we need to let them grow, because the good news is, while in nature you cannot turn a tare into wheat, spiritually speaking, we can. There's always the possibility. What we find is the owner says, when it comes time for the harvest, I will tell the reapers to go out and cut it all down, and once it's harvested, then they can begin to separate them. Understand, God will remove the tares from our presence when the harvest comes. Amen? I will tell you, in 26 years of pastoring, there have been some people that have been in my congregation that I wish to, like everything, that God remove them, but I knew it wasn't my place to do so. And you know what? When I left it up to Him, the master planter, the master harvester, there would come along a time of harvest in the church, and He would remove them Himself. And Joanne, you know what? When God removes them, it's always a much better situation than if I tried. Amen? So don't go around and start hunting out tares thinking it's your job to tear out the tares and get rid of them. That's not your job. That's not my job. That's His job. So He says, let them be. God will take care of it. Understand, God is the owner of the kingdom. God is the owner of this field. Our job is to occasionally help spread the seed, but our job is to leave the growing to Him. Our task is really twofold. Here's the two lessons that I get from this. Number one, you need to be making sure on a regular basis that you're wheat and not a tare. I want that to sink in a minute. Because, if you look, it's really difficult to tell the difference between those two plants, but one is wheat, one is a tare. You need to ask yourself this question this morning. Am I just putting on a good show, looking like I'm the real thing, or am I being the real thing? Can I tell you, it's pretty easy to fake it. There's a saying, it's used a lot in sports, and it has invaded the church world, and I don't like this phrase. I don't like this saying, in all honesty, especially in the church world. And that is, fake it till you make it. I don't like that. I don't serve a God who fakes it. If you're struggling, you need to be honest, because you know what? If you try to fake it, you're a tare. You're not wheat. Amen? So the first thing is, we need to, on a regular basis, we need to go before God, the one who planted the seed, and said, Lord, am I still being wheat? And in a moment, I'm going to tell you how you'll know if you're wheat. The other thing that is our part of our task, the second part of our twofold task, is it's not our job to rip up tares and get rid of them. Our job is to pray for, work with, encourage. Yes, Lord. Our job is to pray for, pray with, and encourage those that might be tares, because God can turn a tare into wheat. Our goal is not to say, how many tares can we rip out and have them bundled to burn eternally? No, our goal is to say, how many tares can we turn into wheat? Are all those off? Okay. God's trying to get our attention. Make sure we are wheat and not tares. Help those around us that might be tares to become wheat. So what's the real difference between wheat and tares? Change that slide. Tares look good, but they bear nothing useful. Wheat, even when it doesn't look too good, bears fruit for the kingdom. I want you to think about this. A scrawny, underdeveloped wheat plant will still have some kernels that can be turned into something nutritious. I don't care how big and full and leafy tares get, they have nothing of any value. Kind of makes you have to stop and think about, what are you doing? It's not enough to look good. It's not enough to show up to church when the doors are open and feel your place in the pew and know the words to every song and know when to stand and when to sit and when to raise your hands. Are you producing fruit for the kingdom? Amen. There was a point in my years of pastoring, in all honesty, when a small crowd like this would just discourage me. Now, I'm not saying those that are not here today are tares. Do not walk out of here thinking that's what I'm saying. I'm not. What I have come to realize, though, is that sometimes large crowds does not always mean you have a healthy, productive wheat field. Praise God for those churches that are packed to capacity this morning, and most of the people are wheat and not tares. Praise God for small churches like this one, that we have people who are faithful and are wheat and not tares. But can I tell you, we need to get past the thing of thinking that a large crowd in a building on Sunday morning constitutes the kingdom of God. Because in all honesty, there's a lot of them that they're full of tares and not wheat. They're not producing for the kingdom. There's a lot of small churches that are full of tares and not wheat. That's why they're not growing. Okay, it's a balance. It can go either way. Big doesn't mean healthy. Small doesn't mean unhealthy. Small doesn't mean healthy. Big meat doesn't mean unhealthy. Are you producing some kind of fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you wheat or are you a tare? We're going to partake of communion here in just a moment. And as we partake of communion, I would like for you this morning to take a few moments to just quietly, there where you're at, talk to your Heavenly Father and ask Him. Say, Father, let the Holy Spirit reveal to me this morning, am I a healthy wheat plant? Am I an unhealthy wheat plant? I'm still producing, but not as much as I should. I want to be healthier. Lord, am I a tear? Am I just putting on a good show and I need to change? Well, the kingdom of God, it's about letting him reign and rule. It's about letting him grow us. It's about letting him have full control. Amen? I want you to just take a few minutes and pray as we get ready to hand these out. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to go ahead and stop the video.